Well, it sure is a blessing to be here tonight, and thank you. Thank you for allowing me to speak, and praise him that he uses the weak things of this world and to confound the things which are mighty. Hello, Pastor. I know you're out there listening. He said he'd be listening, so hello. So Jesus says, for without me, you can do nothing. And so I cannot do this without him, that's for sure. I cannot do anything. None of us can do anything. When I was first given the opportunity to preach, I was really excited, but then it turned into a slow burden of wanting to speak the word of God faithfully, and it's a scary thing to speak God's word because it's God's holy word. And we'll praise him. May he, Lord willing, we're going to be talking about love, kind of sum up last month's messages, actually, and we heard a lot about that last month, but we can never hear enough about it. We can never hear enough about love, can we? You see, we don't have the inclination by nature to love. We don't have the inclination by nature to love. And, well, praise God. Praise be to him. May he receive all the glory. I thought we'd turn to 1 John chapter 4. And the verses, our text verses, are verses 10 and 11. I thought we'd just read verses 1 through 11. 1 John 4, verses 1 through 11. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So we see here, herein is love. The love is in the Holy Son of God. The love of Christ is in the Son of God. We read in Matthew 3:17, I'll just read it here, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In whom I am well pleased. That's the same word as herein. Herein, Christ, God the Father is pleased with his Son. God the Father is pleased with his Son. He is pleased with his Son. I was recently at a field trip with my children, and we were by the ocean, and the man was talking about the three R's of recycling, and he asked, does anybody know what the three R's mean? And I almost, my heart almost leaped out of my chest, and I said, oh, ruin, redemption, regeneration. But before I could get those words out of my mouth, he quickly, you know, gave the spiel about reduce, reuse, recycle, etc. But this verse here in 1 John 4 really declares ruin, redemption, and regeneration. And that's what it's about. Not that we love God. Herein is love, not that we love God. And what is the opposite of loving God? Loving God is, I mean, not loving God is hate, isn't it? Or indifference to the truth. And this part of the verse actually means we have not loved God at any time. We have not loved God at any time, nor ever could, in and of ourselves. And this is where we really come to our first R, and that's ruin. You know, we're ruined because we cannot love God by nature, because we love the darkness and we love this world until God intervenes and saves us. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, literally, you know, but...
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we love darkness and did not want to come to the light. And in John 3, verse 19, John chapter 3, verse 19, the Word of God declares, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Because their deeds were evil. And that's a scary verse to, you know, even as professing Christians, we always have to be warned about the world, don't we? We read about Paul talked about Demas. He turned his back on the gospel and he walked no more with Paul and walking with the gospel. And so it's always scary to, we don't want to cozy up to the world. But before God comes into our hearts, we are the children of wrath. We all change the truth of God into a lie. So we can believe the lie. And furthermore, we're dead in our trespasses and sins. And we cannot love God or those around us in deed and in truth. Let me look at Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So we see that was our former conversation. That was our former behavior. We walked according to this world, and we were the children of disobedience. Boys and girls, we learn about Cain in the Bible, don't we? We read in Genesis. Did he love God? Did Cain love God? That's a question we have to ask as we look at the Word of God. Did he love his brother? Well, let's see. If we look back at one chapter in 1 John 3, verses 11 through 13, 1 John 3, verses 11 through 13, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And why slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous." See, Abel gave an excellent sacrifice. It represented the Lamb of God, the Holy Lamb of God, without spot and without blemish. And that's why, children and adults, if we love the Lord Jesus Christ, the world will hate you. The world will hate you because you're different. There's a difference. And then we become translated into his kingdom. And then we're the Abels of this world when we're his children, the ones being hated. If we look at Hebrews 11, verse 4, Hebrews 11, verse 4, "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." So we're all a part of that world. We were all the Cains of this world, really, until God came into our hearts, until he came and redeemed us. And we're going to get to that good news. But the question remains for all of us, if the world is this way, how can we as Christians befriend the world? How can we cozy up to it? And we all, I'm not standing up here on some high mountain. We're all there. We all can get too close to this world and to this life. But how can we love the world or be its friend? Especially after we see the nature of God's love, especially after we see what he's done. In James 4:4, the Word of God says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." And of course, in 1 John 2:15, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." And, how can we love the world when we see the nature of Christ's love? Years ago, I visited a church that I grew up in. And, he was talking about CCM and worldly music, and he was really trying to expound it and say, "Hey, it's okay. It's okay," he was saying. He said, "It's not a problem." And he was talking about a singer, I guess, that went from really good traditional music to really into the world. And he said, "It's okay." And I almost jumped out of my pew after visiting. But he said, "It's okay as long as when they make the crossover, you bring the crossover." And I couldn't believe my ears at the time. I said, "Whoa. It was a different pastor than when I grew up, but I could not believe it." We don't want to try to be as close to the world as possible. I mean, we look at Jacob and Dinah in Genesis 34, and Dinah is Jacob's daughter. Jacob was being pretty weak during this time. He had the whole land of Canaan before him, and he decided to settle in Shechem, which was right past the border. And we know the story there. It led to all kinds of problems. And, Dinah wanted to go see the daughters of the land. She wanted to be like this world and to see what was happening. So as Christians, we do not want to try to live as close to the world as possible. Before, we didn't love God. Before, we walked according to this world. And herein is love. Not that we loved God. We didn't. We couldn't. But in our text chapter, it says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." So now we move on to the next point, and that is, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is the second R, if you will. It's redemption. Christ came to be the Redeemer. God sent his Son into the world to save sinners like us. We're all sinners, and such were some of you. We were in the past. That's what we were. But Christ came to redeem sinners. Matthew Henry, the great commentator, said about this verse, he says, "He loved us when we had no love for him, when we lay in our guilt, misery, and blood, when we were undeserving, ill-deserving, polluted, and unclean, and wanted or lacked to be washed from our sins in his sacred blood." So he came, but Jesus came to redeem us, to buy us back. We were under the law. He came to buy us back. In Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, the Word of God declares, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." He came to buy us back. He came to buy us back. He came to buy us back. So we want to know where the love is. Years ago, my friend Larry, that I spent some time with in India. He came out to visit my wife and I. We were just having breakfast on a Saturday. And, he was a real excited fellow about everything. He just really got emotional and excited. We were just sitting around. We were talking about a local situation. And he was, "Where's the love? Where's the love?" And my wife and I, to this day, we die laughing about that, because it's just so funny, that whole picture that was before us. But here's the love: not that we love God, but that he loved us. It's about substitution. It's also about substitution when God the Father sent his Son. In Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." It's about substitution. See, he came to bear the sins of many, and he bore the sins. He bore my sins and your sins, and he's such a wonderful redeemer and substitute. It was the just for the unjust. It was the just for the unjust. In 1 Peter 3:18, I'll just read it. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." That's how he brought us to God. We were the unjust. We were the unlovely. We were the polluted. We were ill-deserving, hell-deserving sinners. But he brought us to God, the just for the unjust, his great substitutionary work. Praise be to him. It's about satisfaction, propitiation. It's about satisfaction. God the Father is satisfied with the Lord Jesus. He was pleased. And it pleased the Father to bruise him, it says in Isaiah 53. But in Ephesians 5:2, the word of God there declares, "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." You see, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was as a sweet-smelling savor coming up to God the Father. He was pleased. "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." He was pleased with the Son. He made satisfaction, and he was as incense coming up to the Father and satisfying. You see, it's not about us. It's about what he has done. Everything in this world, everything is geared to, what about me? What about me? My music. How about this one? My wall. My life. What I want. Well, you should do this. No, it's what I want. That's what this whole life is geared to, is what I want. But we need to die to self, and we need to die with Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." See, it's not I any longer. I has to be taken out of the way. I has to die. So we shouldn't want to be like the world to attract the world, right? As Christians, we need to die with Christ. We should be different. We should be refreshingly different to the world. And we should be a sweet savor unto life. And we should have holiness, not some kind of fake holiness, but true holiness in heart and life. And not "don't stand near me" type of holiness, but holiness to true in the heart, a heart holiness, which is given by him because he is holy. Because he is holy. The love of Christ constraineth us. So we see the love of Christ here, and it constrains us to live that kind of life. And it's about him and his great work on the cross and who he is. Do we give him the glory? Ephesians 1, verses 5 through 7. Ephesians 1, verses 5 through 7. Ephesians 1, verses 5 through 7. "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." So we see it's all about him. Look at these verses. It says, he predestinated us. He adopted us. It's according to the good pleasure of his will. It's to the praise of the glory of his grace. He makes us accepted in the beloved. We have redemption through his blood. And it's all according to the riches of his grace. Praise God for what a wonderful Savior for doing this. It's about Him. It's not about us. It's about Him. It's about Him. And so now we move on to verse 11 in our text in 1 John 4. It says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." After we see our great ruin and we see the great redemption, now we can see the great regeneration. Because now we're given a new heart. By the Spirit of God gives us a new heart. After so we see Jesus for us. And we have regeneration. And now we have the ability to love, don't we? We have the ability to love. And to love and truth. We have to have love and truth. They're two sides of the same coin. If we just have love, and we just have a big mushy pile of nothing. If we just have truth, then it could be just cold and hard. And we need love and truth, doctrine and devotion. We need both. We need both. We need to have love and truth. But after this, we come to love as He loved us. And in our text chapter there, it says in 1 John 4, verses 12 and 13, "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit." He gives us His Spirit. You see, this whole part is, it's contrasting what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us and what He does in us compared to the false prophets in the beginning of the chapter, the seducers and the false prophets that want to take you away from the love of Christ, take you away from the truth of Christ. And beloved, he says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." That beloved means my dear and favorite ones. He's talking particularly to His people, to his children. So when we possess this so great redemption, we're regenerated, and we want to tell the truth and love to others. Ephesians 4, verse 15. Ephesians 4, verse 15. "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." We want to speak the truth in love. We want to speak the truth in love, and we owe that. Even to our brethren, we owe that. We owe that because that we ought to love one another means we owe a debt to our brethren. We owe a debt. It means to owe. It's the same as in Matthew 18, verse 28. Matthew 18, verse 28 says, Matthew 18, verse 28, "But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me that thou owest.'" We owe to love our brethren in such a way that as a guy was grabbing him by the neck and saying, "Pay me what you owe," we should be, "I love you." We should be loving our brethren. We owe a debt of love. You know, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. We're to give ourselves for our wives. And just, you know, we didn't have to go to the cross for our wives. Those of us who are married here, we didn't have to go to the cross for our wives as Jesus did. And Jesus and His bride, just think of it, Jesus and His bride. My wife has true love. She puts up with me. but praise God for my wife. But the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts now because the love of Christ constraineth us. And the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit. And so if we look at Stephen's life, I'd like to turn to Acts 7, but we see that the love of Christ was shed abroad in his heart. He was telling the truth, even though they were the Cains that were treating him like Abel. Even though they were like the Cains, treating him like Abel. But he did it in love. If we look in Acts chapter 7, verses 51 through 60, Acts chapter 7, verses 51 through the end of the chapter. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. But he was telling the truth, but he was doing it in love. That whole chapter, you know, read it again sometime. He's talking about the history of Israel, and he's telling them the truth. And he tells them, this applies to you. And then they didn't hear it, though. They were like the Cains, treating him like Abel. But he did it in love. He was praying for them, even on his dying breath. He was praying for them. He did it in love. He had the truth and love. And boy, by God's grace, if we should treat our enemies this way, how should we treat each other? And we're to give ourselves for one another. And so that's amazing here. It says, but marvel not when the love and truth of Christ that we share that the world hate us because they hated him. When we share it with others, when we go out of here and try to share it with others, the world will hate us. If we're living according to his word, we shall suffer persecution in one form or the other. I mean, if you look in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, it says, Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We shall suffer persecution if we tell the truth in love. And so we always want to be bold in telling the truth, and it's so important, but we need to do it in love, by the love that's shed abroad in our hearts. But God will be with us during that time. When we're children of God, God will be with us to share the truth. Pastor Van Dyken always, I don't know if anyone remembers him, he would always point out Jesus was standing on the right hand of God. You know, he was concerned with Stephen. Stephen saw the heavens open, and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Jesus was concerned for his children. He was concerned. He was with them, even to the point of death. And he's with us when we love others and when we love one another. And just in closing, I'd like to read again 1 John 4, 4 in our text chapter. 1 John 4, 4. And then also our verse 11. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you. When we've been redeemed from our sins, greater is he that is in us. And we have the Spirit of God than he that is in the world. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So praise be to him that he saves us from such ruin, and he redeems us, and then he gives us such a great regeneration in our life that we can love one another and love others, love our enemies. Maybe we could close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for all that you've done. We just pray, Lord, that you would take this word and apply it to our hearts as we go out this week, and we face a wicked world each week. We face a formidable foe. Father, please give us, please help us to see these things in your word, that how great salvation that we have, that it's only by your grace that we can have the love and truth that you give us. We thank you for sending your Son into this world to save sinners. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lee. It is great to remember continually the great love of God and what he has done for us through Jesus Christ. And so we are dismissed. Good night. God bless.